Let us turn back to John's Gospel, chapter 1. Our text this morning, verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Well, we were glad last Sunday morning that the sun was shining. Our subject was the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. And I'm glad this morning that the sun is shining because our subject is the Lord Jesus Christ as the true light. And we do love the light. We do appreciate the light. We much prefer it to the darkness. And the Apostle John has that in mind when he writes these words about the Lord Jesus Christ, in contrast to John the Baptist, who the Lord Jesus Christ said was a burning and a shining light. And he was such, because the truth of God was preached by him. But the apostle says here in verse 8, with respect to John the Baptist, he was not that light. In other words, there is a greater light. And John was sent to bear witness of that light, this greater light. And he says that was the true light. Now, the Greek word, which is here translated true, means real, authentic, genuine. You know how disappointed you are when the pack arrives through the post with the goods that you have ordered on the internet. And you're disappointed when what is in the pack does not exactly correspond with what you thought it was going to be. Perhaps you thought you were getting a rocking horse with real horsehair tail and real horsehair mane. But perhaps you've misunderstood what was there on the website. And the hair on the rocking horse is synthetic. And you feel cheated. What you were expecting did not come up to your expectations. And it could be like that with religion as well. And you might have been involved in this or that religion in the past. And it did not come up to your expectations. Did not bring the peace that passes understanding, or the joy unspeakable and full of glory. And you felt cheated. It let you down. It did not answer to your soul's need. Now of this we are sure, that no one who examines the gospel message as it is in the Bible, and acts upon its claims with true godly sorrow and repentance in turning from sin, and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, will feel cheated. It is just not possible that it should be so, where true repentance and faith are in operation. We find that all of the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus our Lord. The good news of the gospel claims to lead us to the light of life, and it does. And it wonderfully transforms us and changes the whole direction of our lives. The true light, that is our subject. Three words sum up what we're going to say: identification, foundation, and contrast. First of all, identification. The question is, who is the true light? Now the answer to this question is, Jesus Christ is the true light. Come into this world, and the light of life is in him alone. This is what our text says. That, and he's speaking of the Lord Jesus, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is identifiable as the true light in a number of different ways. Now you know how important identification is. When you go to a bank, which might not be your own local branch, and you need to transact some business there, they need to be sure of your identification. Are you authentic? Are you who you claim to be? Perhaps they will ask you to insert your bank card and type in your PIN number in order to be persuaded that you are who you say you are. And it is so important, isn't it, in religious things to know precisely who it is that we are dealing with. Because many different people make all sorts of different claims to be able to answer to the needs of our souls. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ was identified as the true light by John the Baptist. Now that was very important 2,000 years ago, because the Jews of that day had come to regard John the Baptist as someone who was sent by God. They realized that he had authority and a mission from God, and therefore what he said had resonance, as the saying is, with the people. And what did he have to say about the Lord Jesus Christ? We read in verses 6 and 7 about his mission. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. God had sent him. He was a man with a mission, and his mission was to bear witness to the light. And the witness of John the Baptist with respect to the Lord Jesus Christ was very clear. We have one example of it there in those verses that we read, verses 29 and 30. The next day, John sees Jesus coming to him and says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." You kind of get it plainer than that with respect to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you ask the question, who is the Lord Jesus Christ? What did he come to do? You kind of get it plainer than this. Behold the Lamb of God. You might wonder, well, what's the meaning of this saying? Why call a man a lamb? Well, you see, John explained that. That he's thinking in terms of the Old Testament sacrifices with which the Jews were very familiar, taking a lamb, offering it up to God in order that they might be forgiven. And he shows that they were just pictures for the time being. They were just shadows pointing forward to someone greater. And now he is able to say, as the immediate forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Here is the one who really does what we need. He deals with the problem of the guilt of sin. He deals with that which separates us from God. The great problem of your life is sin. That's true of every single human being. This is the great problem that has to be dealt with. Because we cannot have peace with God without this sin, our guilt, being dealt with. And here is John saying to the people, look, this is the one. This man, he is the one who deals with the problem of sin. He is the Lamb of God, able to take away that guilt of sin, that sinners such as we, through repentance and faith and the confession of our sins, might experience pardon, a free pardon. There's no price tag attached to this with respect to we sinners, because the price has been paid and Jesus Christ has died and he has secured this wonderful redemption and salvation. Have you put your trust in him? That's the way that you're going to know the peace that passes understanding. Now what John the Baptist said about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said about himself. He claimed to be the light of the world. We have to go a little further forward in John's Gospel to see this. But if you turn over a few pages there to chapter 12, and in that chapter, verse 46, we read there, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. The light into the world. The Jews were waiting, or those at least, who believed what was written in the Old Testament. Men like Simeon, for example. He was the man that took the baby Jesus in his arms. And he uttered those words to God. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He's looking at this baby in his arms. And he sees that this Jesus is the one in whom all of those promises of life and light and salvation that we find there in the Old Testament scriptures, here is the one in whom they are all fulfilled. And the Lord Jesus Christ made that claim for himself. I am the light of the world. Now, in another sense, we may say that the Lord Jesus Christ is identifiable as the true light, because everyone who believes in him enjoys the light of life. He is the true light. And in him we see light and we have light. Again, in chapter 12 here of John's Gospel, we have those words of the Lord Jesus to the Jews of his day at verse 35. Knowing of his coming death, because he was the Lamb and he had to die, the Lord Jesus says to them, this is John 12 and 35, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have light, the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. The light of Christ. penetrates the soul of the believer. And we have light through faith in him. We do not walk any longer in darkness, but we have the light of life. We do not like to get lost in the dark. We know how much more difficult and perilous our circumstances are to find our way home if we are lost in the dark. But that's how we all are by nature as sinners. We are lost. Lord Jesus Christ described us as lost sheep. And we are lost in the dark. We cannot see our way. But you see, when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have light. The light of life. You can see the way. And you can come to God. And you can enjoy his blessing. And your life is transformed. So who is the true light? Jesus Christ alone is the true light. The Jesus Christ of the Bible. The eternal Son of God come among men. Now that's the identification. Secondly, the foundation. Here's another question. How is it that Jesus Christ can be the true light to sinners? Now, a source of light can give light to others. And this is true in the physical realm, and it is true in the spiritual realm. Now, you know that the moon is a light in the sky. And we are glad of it, because it means that we do not, even in the night, as long as it is not obscured, we do not find ourselves in total darkness. But the moon is not bright enough to make our nights into day. It just does not have that much light. In fact, if you have studied any astronomy at school or as a hobby, you know that the moon is, in fact, a dark body. The surface of the moon is, after all, dust. The moon is not hot. It was possible for those astronauts to go to the moon and to be on the surface of the moon. And it doesn't differ a great deal, apart from the lack of vegetation, from what you would find here on Earth. If you went to the Sahara Desert or somewhere like that, and it's all sand. So the moon in itself generates no light. It is only a reflector of light. The light of the sun hitting the moon bounces back, and the moon shines in the sky, and it gives to us light on earth. And it's so important in connection with this matter of spiritual light to realize that preachers of the gospel, they are not the light. My words cannot be of any spiritual benefit to you unless it is the light of Christ, if I may so put it, that bounces off me to you. Not as simple as it is in astronomy. But that light of Christ must come into the souls of men who are called to the preaching of the gospel. And as the apostle says, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. And when men call to the preaching of the gospel, are faithful in teaching what is in this written word of God about the Lord Jesus Christ, then the light of Christ shines through their preaching into the hearts of their hearers. It's the sun that is the light in our solar system. It is far different from the moon. It is huge. If you were to draw a little diagram this morning of the sun, and you represented it as being almost 10 centimeters wide, something like 93 millimeters, the Earth, in comparison, would be less than 1 millimeter. Our Earth is so tiny. The sun is so gigantic. It's not a solid body like the Earth or the moon, but it is all fire. It's a fiery body, burning with the immense energy that we cannot even comprehend. And the light that it emits arises from this intense energy within itself. It is not a mere reflector of light, but it is a producer of light and a giver of light, and such light that we can walk abroad in it and be about our business. Like as on a beautiful day, like today, we can see where we're going. We're heartened and cheered because the sun is shining, and we were looking at all of that in connection with the Lord Jesus Christ as the sun of righteousness. The psalmist in Psalm 84, just turning to that in our metrical version, refers to God as the source of light in this way. He says, "For God the Lord's a sun and shield. He'll grace and glory give, and will withhold no good from them that uprightly do live. O thou that art the Lord of hosts, that man is truly blessed who by assured confidence on thee alone doth rest." You see, he speaks of God as a sun, because the outshining of the character of God, who he is and what he is, brings blessing to all those who put their trust in him. And they can walk abroad in this spiritual life that he gives and serve him. And when we come to the Apostle John here in John in chapter 1, what we are seeing is that this glorious spiritual light, which is in God himself and of himself, all of the energy for it belongs to him, as it were. This light is in Jesus Christ, because he is the true light and none other than God manifest in the flesh. We believe in what we call the doctrine of the Trinity, that there are three persons in the Godhead: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the second person of the Holy Trinity, God the Son, came into this world of ours, and he came in the flesh. He was truly man, God and man, united together in one person. John has already dealt with this in verse 1. He deals with the deity, or the Godhead, the full Godhead of the Lord Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14, he declares what we call the incarnation, the coming in the flesh of the eternal Son of God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This glorious light there was shining in the Lord Jesus Christ in the days of his flesh. And we learn that as he is the true light, that this light is original to him and has its foundation in the life that is in him. So Christ is not a reflector of light, but has this light in and of himself, because eternal life is in him. Verse 4 here of this chapter, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness. As you read the Bible and learn more and more about the Lord Jesus Christ, what you are finding out about is the wonder of his character, who he is, and the wonder of his work, what he has done. And this is as the light of the sun lighting up this world of ours. But this light of Christ lights up our souls and brings us near to God. In other words, fullness of life is in Jesus Christ. It is original to him, and he imparts it to us. The commentator William Hendrickson says, in relationship to verse 4, that the life that was in Christ was, I quote, the fullness of God's essence, his glorious attributes, holiness, truth, knowledge, wisdom, veracity, love, omnipotence, sovereignty. He was God manifest in the flesh and showed divine power and love in answering to human needs. Now, when you meet your friend, you recognize your friend by his face. But it's not the face of your friend that principally interests you in itself. Is it not the character of your friend that impresses you and invigorates you? Your friend is thoughtful, kind, encouraging, and you are uplifted by his presence. Now, something of his character is evident on your friend's face. You might see that he is resolute, but not harsh. You might see that he is tender-hearted, but not weak. And when you are feeling down in the dumps, as we see it, a visit from a good friend cheers us up. And so it is with the Lord Jesus Christ as the friend that sticks closer than a brother. The presence of the Savior lifts our souls and fills them with joy. His character inspires us, cheers us, and comforts us. He is wonderful. He is altogether lovely. To refer to the psalmist once again, in Psalm 36, he praises the Lord for all that he means to him. Is there in verses 8 and 9 of the saints. There with the fatness of thy house shall be well satisfied. From rivers of thy pleasures thou wilt drink to them provide. Because of life, the fountain pure remains alone with thee. And in that purest light of thine, we clearly light shall see. You see, it's not a merely emotional thing. When Christians, having come to the house of God, go home refreshed and strengthened and gladdened as a result of being in the presence of God. It's not a merely emotional thing. It's the fact that through this word coming home to our hearts in the power of the Holy Spirit, we're learning more about the Lord Jesus Christ and all of the wonder of his person and his work. And that fills us with such gladness to know him and the power of his resurrection. And we need have no doubt that he shines upon each one of those who receives him in repentance and fear. No need for anyone here to feel left out of these things. If you turn from your sins and look to Christ, he will receive you. That is his own promise. It's not the preacher who is seeking to pass off something which doesn't work, which doesn't satisfy. The Saviour says to we sinners, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And there's never been a sinner who has repented of his sins and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ who has not experienced spiritual life through him. For in the Lord Jesus Christ there is a fullness of life that shines out from him, just as that energy of the sun causes the fiery flames to give light to our planet. And in the light of Christ, believers see light and enjoy eternal life in consequence. Now that brings us to our third consideration. Contrast. We ask the question, how does Christ, the true light, differ from this world? Now the Apostle John has given us that contrast in verse 5. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It's one of the greatest contrasts, is it not, in this world in which we live. The contrast between light and darkness. The darkness is black and dark. The light is white and bright, we might say. And here, the world of men is described as darkness. This might seem less appropriate now than when the Apostle John was writing these words. In my lifetime, man has been to the moon. Wonderful advances have been made regarding medical treatments. We now have in our pockets computing power that would have needed rooms full of equipment. Only 30 or 40 years ago. Such are the advances of science. I remember speaking to a young man at the open air in Stockton some months ago. And the subject came round to hope. And I said to him, what hope do you have? In the light of the certainty of death for every one of us, What hope do you have? Then immediately he started talking about the achievements of science. Now I ask you, what confidence can we place on the achievements of science when it comes to the ultimate things of life? It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. How is science going to help any sinner with respect to that situation? For the wages of sin is death. And you see, the problem is, despite all of the advances that mankind has made in matters of science and medicine and so on, there has been no change in man's essential condition of spiritual darkness. And that is so evident. We still have terrible, fatal atrocities committed by terrorists, criminals, and alas, even parents. When these things take place, suddenly it seems as though our politicians become biblical in their thinking. Because then, when they witness these things, these terrible events, then they start to talk about depravity. The depravity of man. They start to talk about evil and dark deeds. But you see, the problem is, we are all sinners by nature. And this moral and spiritual darkness affects us all. The greatest moral and spiritual darkness in this world is the rejection of Jesus Christ as the light of the world. John affirms this three times in this passage. He says in verse 5, "And the darkness comprehended it not." The world of men did not take hold of it. They did not possess it. Again, in verse 10, he says, with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, he was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He says in verse 11, with respect to the Jews, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. This, dear friends, spiritually is on a par with us being ignorant of the existence of the Son. As though you should be looking out of doorway this morning, seeing this light streaming in and having no idea where that light is coming from. That's what it's like for people to reject the Lord Jesus Christ as the light of the world. Failing to avail ourselves of the most important benefits that we human beings can experience. And not welcoming Jesus Christ into our hearts and lives and experience because of a preference for and a love of darkness. That's the issue. There is open air preaching taking place all over this country still to this day. And I'm glad of that. And when I go hear somebody preaching in the open air, I like to stand and listen to hear what they have to say. And when they are preaching faithfully from the Bible, it gives me a great encouragement and a great delight. The passers-by are at least hearing about Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Isn't it so sad that these days, rather than listen and learn and live through faith in Jesus Christ, people would rather complain. They can put up with the most tremendous noises in other contexts If you'd been here last Tuesday night, you would know what I mean. They're setting off the fireworks display. It seemed as if we were in the middle of a battlefield for the noise that was taking place. People can cope with that. But here is a man standing declaring the truth as it is in Jesus. Oh, we don't want that. We don't want all of this noise in the streets. And whatever else their complaint might be. You see, that's the darkness of the human heart without Jesus Christ, the Lord of life. But notwithstanding the darkness, John says, notwithstanding the rejection, Christ, the light, is shining still in the darkness of this world. The light shines in darkness. Though we, men and women and boys and girls, in our natural condition, cannot see or understand spiritual, heavenly, and eternal things, and being ignorant of them, live in darkness, God has been pleased to send light to us in our needs. Now, I don't know what it is like to live in Iceland. It's the land of the midnight sun in the summer. But you can imagine how dark it is in the winter. Day after day, week after week, month after month, long dark nights are followed by short dark days. And when the spring comes, the sunlight must be very welcome. And is that not how we are spiritually? The people that sat in darkness have seen great light. Wouldn't it be so foolish? Wouldn't it be so stupid? If you'd gone off potholing, you're down there in the bowels of the earth going through these various caverns and tunnels and so on, and you get lost. You're lost there in the darkness. Wouldn't it be so foolish if a guy who understands the way to safety and life and recovery, he comes along, he's got the light there on his helmet. He comes to help. You can see the light is shining there on his helmet. But you refuse to follow after him. And so it is with so many today. Salvation is provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have those wonderful words that sum up the gospel from the lips of the Savior. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, I ask you, I leave you with this question. Are you a spiritual moth? Oh, they think. The preacher's gone out of his head this morning. Are you a spiritual moth? You know how it is when you open your door on a night. The moth sees the light and flies directly to it. And so, we must be with Christ. So, you must be with Christ. We open the Bible. His light shines forth. Let us fly directly to him. We will not be disappointed in him. Able to see him to the uttermost, all those who come unto God by him.